Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Let me tell you people something. This ain't just a football. This is your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, your soul in a role. It's your life. Tomorrow on that field, it's do or die. Win or cry.
Go, baby, go!
Amen. Tonight when you go home, I want you to brush your little teeth. I want you to wash your little faces. And I want you to dream the sweet dreams of football glory. Because tomorrow we're going to crush the little giants into smithereens.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
It's that time of year. We got to make picks here on the About Them Cowboys podcast. So welcome in to the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Kent behind the scenes and welcoming in our Cowboys beat writers, John Mashoda and Saad Youssef. Here to lead us through this thing, on into week one, it's Kevin KT Turner. Hey, KT.
Howdy. How we doing, guys? Ready to get this thing going? Obviously, a lot of stuff to get to in today's episode, and at the end, we will conclude it with our picks. We'll broaden out, give you a little national perspective, or at least some picks from us local guys here in DFW. Let's start out, though, with the Terrence Steele signing. I got to tell you, John, I guess I didn't see it coming. I don't know if you did. Kind of got the weekend news dump situation, but I was very pleased with that deal. What are your thoughts on the Cowboys getting the deal done with Terrence Steele?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that they got one done just because I know that he was somebody that they wanted to get signed because this is his last year under contract. I would say the only reason there might be some surprise is because of the fact that he's coming off this major knee injury. But part of the reason they probably felt comfortable with it is because of the fact of how he's been, how diligent he's been and how quickly he's been able to overcome this, coupled with what they've already seen from him as a player over the last few years. So, I knew he was in that mix. You know, there's those times when you're talking to Stephen Jones or Jerry Jones and you're talking about the contracts coming up and, you know, they'll mention names and without even asking. And that's usually a pretty good tell of what they're working on. So now this gets that one out of the way. You know, they took care of Zach Martin, got Malik Hooker done, Trayvon Diggs. So the next two that are up are obviously Dak and CeeDee Lamb. And I don't necessarily think either will get done before Sunday night, but it also wouldn't surprise me if one of them did. I mean, look at how that Terrence Steele thing came down. That was a Sunday morning. How often does that type of news break on a Sunday morning? But they were working on it Friday and Saturday, started getting close. Sunday, both parties agreed. And then on Monday, Steele signed the deal. And I know it looks like a lot right now, but as long as he keeps on the same path he's on right now, you know, a year or two from now, you look at that deal as like a bargain, just because of how the salaries will continue to go up. But to get 5 years, that's 5 years on top of this year. So, they have them under contract for the next 6 years. And if you think you can find another Terrence Steele, go ahead and look around the NFL. There's not many quality offensive linemen out there, especially offensive tackles. And so they didn't want to risk losing him.
Yeah, I think also with Terrence Steele and his kind of story, it reminds me a lot. It reminds me somewhat of Ron Leary, just because Ron Leary was also an undrafted guy and kind of came out and, you know, kind of plugged right in. The difference here is that Ron Leary was kind of the fourth after the three big monsters, right? Like Tyron was still in his prime, and Zach Martin and Travis Frederick were all there. Maybe not when like he got here, because I know Leary got here before Martin did, but I'm just saying like when he became that guy. With Terrence Steele, it's different though, because just by virtue of the pecking order, Terrence Steele might be your second most reliable offensive lineman right now, all things considered. I still think Zach Martin's the best and Tyron Smith when he's on his game is the best, but Tyron Smith's health and availability is always in question. And for Terrence Steele, the way that he plays and also the way that he's rehabbed from this knee injury, it's been really impressive, all things considered. So I think it's really interesting that, you know, they were able to kind of get it done at the timing that they did. And, you know, I think, again, coming back from your knee injury, you had a little bit of the Cowboys may have had a little bit of leverage, whatever. But the bottom line is, and Mike McCarthy talked about this, that, you know, he's not overly revealing in too many of his press conferences. But the other day he did say that, you know, it's just hard nowadays to find offensive linemen, period. It's just different. And you look at it, and this is not the days of having Tyron, Zach, and Travis Frederick, and then, you know, we'll worry about the last two. It's like, no, if you get one or two good Pro Bowl, All-Pro level guys, you got to lock them down.
It's kind of interesting, too. Like, you start looking at, you know, the way they did that, the way they structured the deal. Very classic Stephen Jones kind of way of organizing and structuring the deal. I think what John said is what I ended up going to last. This thing that we all know, and it's been beaten to our head over the years, the way these deals look at the end of the deal is usually pretty good at this point. So I really love that. And I also think, like, it's interesting that Mike McCarthy's, like, come around on that too. Not that I guess he was fighting it, but, you know, we remember the fantasy football, you know, comment, and we, you know, the point is they might have got it right. We were all questioning, well, maybe Terrence Steele should play left guard. Maybe that would work out. And they have developed it right. And I'm interested to see how big of a change the offensive line coach change is this year, how much that impacts the team. But it's also a testament to them developing. You know, a lot of people were hard on Terrence Steele the first year that he played here. And you usually got a few things about his background and the fact that he was invited to the Senior Bowl. You don't just get invited to the Senior Bowl. Like, those are a lot of people who really think you've got a really good chance of playing in the NFL. And the fact that he wasn't drafted, maybe a little shocking, but he didn't have a good Senior Bowl week. You know, it wasn't some great week for him, but it was always about, you know, he was still growing. He was still learning a little bit how to play and how to use all of his parts together. And over the years, you look at what a developmental project he's been and what he's turned into. It's outstanding that you could not use any draft capital and turn him into this. And stability matches up with what you're looking for with Tyler Smith, even though there is a 3 or 4 year age difference there. You know, you still can kind of feel like, okay, we've developed an offensive line, you know, moving forward the way we kind of did 10 years ago. I was stoked about the deal. I think it's excellent. And yeah, just very happy about it. While we're on the same token, Tyler Smith, a little hammy injury. Is that anything to be concerned about, John?
I think it has to be, just because it's a hamstring, one. And then two, you know, when Jerry was asked about it this morning on 105.3 The Fan during his first weekly interview of the season, he didn't immediately shut it down like he normally does if it's nothing major. He said that he was going to get an MRI today and just to be precautionary about it, but he still thought that that wouldn't have any impact on him, you know, playing Sunday night. But it's a hamstring, and you just never know how long those things can linger. And so because of that, you just don't know for sure. It could be one of those things where they think he's fine to go, you know, Sunday night, and he's out there and he might be playing well. And all of a sudden he feels a tug a little bit. And now all of a sudden he's got to come out. And a little bit on the Terrence Steele side of it, there's a part of me that feels like if that is to happen in the game, you don't really feel great about any of your backup options. I kind of go with the Terrence Steele approach. If you think TJ Bass, just like Terrence Steele, an undrafted rookie free agent, has the upside to become an NFL starter, I think you throw him to the wolves and you deal with the growing pains. And it's like you're going to have to, everything's not going to be clean, but you just, that's what you go with. I don't necessarily think they'll do that. I think they probably, Chuma Adoga, just because he's a veteran, his experience would probably be the next guy up. He just hasn't really been that impressive during, you know, training camp, so, or the preseason. So there's some huge question marks there, but I'll just say this. I know there's a lot of PTSD from Cowboys fans with what went on in Atlanta, you know, when obviously they put Chaz Green in there and they left him on an island, and Adrian Claiborne had a career year and one game. I don't get the sense from this coaching staff that they would do the same thing. And to be honest, there's a lot of things that you can be critical of Mike McCarthy about, but I think one of his strengths have been, in those difficult times when there has been adversity, his game plans have kind of been able to overcome that. I mean, 2020 was up and down and whatever, but there were some games in 2020 where I'm like, I don't know how you patch this thing together with duct tape and were able to come out with a win here. And then you just point to all the games when they haven't had Dak the last 2 years and they've been right in all of them and won 5 of the 6. So, it won't, like I said, there'll be things that they'll be limited with if, you know, Tyler is to come out of the game, but I still have a lot of confidence that Mike McCarthy will come up with a game plan that, will be suitable for them to be able to win this game, whether they have Tyler Smith or not.
Yeah. And looking at that, you know, obviously there's week one, like you also getting that vibe of why push it too soon on some of these things, if there is something uncomfortable, but man, I'm not too worried about it. I was, the hamstring stuff is interesting for like the old Cowboy days that felt like that was soft tissue. That's going back to Miles Austin's, and maybe you forget like how old we've gotten. sometimes my Sean references, Lee. I start thinking of it. Sometimes my references aren't that great anymore as I reference things from 10 years ago.
Miles Austin.
Yeah, I know, right? Weird.
Man, it was an issue like the end of Garrett's time.
Yeah.
Remember, yeah. They brought in who's the yoga people? They had ballet bars in the facility.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a weird one, man. Is there anything at all to the Chris Jones rumors that are just kind of flying around? It's wild that he hasn't signed yet, and Travis Kelce's going on his podcast and begging him to sign or at least play. Like that's crazy in itself. But sure enough, the Cowboys always find themselves in these discussions. It is interesting. It is the one place on the team that you go, man, immediate upgrade that we could like use a spot for right there. Yeah. Anything at all to this, John?
I don't. And also it won't happen now because this has been put out there. So tell me the last time that that's happened with the Cowboys. Usually if they were going to do the Chris Jones thing, I think it would have been done already. And then there's a part of me too, that if they did that deal, it would make me think a little bit about maybe they're not as sold on Mozzie Smith. And I know that they're not playing the same position, but if you feel as strongly as you did the day you drafted Mozzie Smith about how, yeah, we're going to use him in a different way than Michigan did, there'll be more pass rush there and things like that. If you still feel strongly about that, which from every, you know, indication they do, when I say that, they don't necessarily have to play the same position, but I'm just talking about the money investment that you're making. This is a very draft and develop. Like, you don't just go and give all, because obviously to get Chris Jones, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. To all of a sudden go down that road just seems kind of unlikely, especially in a time where you're still got to pay CeeDee Lamb. You still got to pay Dak Prescott. You still got to make Micah Parsons the highest paid defensive player of all time. So because of all of that, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Aren't you, if you're Mike McCarthy, aren't you beating down Jerry's door though for that? Man, I got 1 year here. Let's go for it. I don't care about 3 years from now.
I can actually argue the contrary. And that would be that if you're Mike McCarthy, you do that for this 1 year and it doesn't work out, you're probably gone. Whereas as much as people think that if they come up short this year, I still am hesitant to believe that because of the fact that if they get back to winning double digit games like this team clearly should do, even if they fall short in the playoffs, Mike's going to be able to show Jerry, look at all these players we've been able to develop, these young guys. They're still one of the youngest rosters in the league. There's guys getting big contracts, 3 years in a row of double digit wins, knocking on the door, something that the Cowboys have not done in 3 consecutive years. Mike's going to have a lot of leverage to say, I deserve some more time to try and get this thing over the top.
They don't have Chris Jones. Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, and he's developing guys and things like that because, you know, the draft and develop thing, that's obviously what a big part of in Green Bay. Green Bay very rarely goes out and makes a big splash move for somebody. You know, I mean, obviously they did for Reggie White and there's some other ones, but it's not like in their DNA to do that all the time. And so Mike McCarthy's coming from that program and he comes to the Cowboys and they're able to, you know, hit on a bunch of guys, Trayvon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, as these key pieces that are young guys. And you just keep adding more to that. I just can see him at the end of the year having a lot of that to sell to Jerry, who's would be mad that they fell short in the playoffs. But hey, look at where this thing's going, you know, and then also the fact of like, you know, you don't know who the next guy is that's even out there that would be that intriguing to Jerry to just all of a sudden like, no, this isn't working. Let's go another direction. Let's, you know, heck, you know, if they were to go with Dan Quinn or whatever. I just think that Jerry wants this to work out because things have been building for these last few years that I don't look at it as this. It's just this. So many people want to talk about like, oh, they fall short again in the playoffs. Mike's automatically gone. There's a good chance, but it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, I also think that a Chris Jones trade would be very Rams-ish, you know, to kind of go all in on 1 year and then kind of, you know, let the damage unfold afterwards. But again, look, as John said, look at the head coaching situations there with what Sean McVay and how much security and you know, no explanations needed that were, you know, McVay's job was never on the line when he's trading for all these, when they're trading for all these guys. So,
but hey, Saad, to that point, it even matches up with like, at least with the Rams, what they had built there to go get Ramsey and Odell and all that, Stafford, like at least that Chris Jones doing that would match up with where they're at. Like the Cowboys, right. Like I know Dak's 30, but and Tyron and Zach are 32, but for the most part, it's a young team. So it doesn't really match as much as like you're saying with the Rams situation.
Yeah, for sure. And all those guys that you mentioned were all guys that they went out and got. And all the guys that you're talking about with Dallas are all homegrown guys. So two different situations. But I think if Jerry wanted to do that, it's funny because when you look at trades and how they kind of go on, Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore, no one heard a peep about it. Trey Lance, no one heard anything about it before it happened. Any of these big headline type trades, they usually don't happen after – you know, a podcast has discussed it for a week. So we'll see.
And even all those deals are all, they're bargains in a certain way. Nothing about Chris Jones is going to be a bargain. Like you can completely hate the idea of them trading for Trey Lance, but at the end of the day, they gave up a fourth round pick. It's not that big. I mean, but you make that move to get a guy like Chris Jones, like it just doesn't match up with things that they've done on that level. The only one that I can say that would be close to that would be, you know, that year when they traded for Amari Cooper. And that was because it was just painfully obvious, like we're not even gonna be able to operate an offense if we don't get a number one wide receiver in here. And this is we're at the bye week. We got to make a decision right now. There's nothing about this defense that without Chris Jones and without that commitment can't still be the best defense in the league.
You know, okay. First of all, I hear that, and I'm mostly with you guys. I guess there's a part of me that goes, okay, so like. Very Steven Jones to continue building it. There's a big part of me that's just going, why not right now? And a part of it does have to do with what the NFC looks like. But really, the next 2 years is before you have any concern of losing Micah or not being able to. And I'm creating that monster in my head right now, you know? But like, it did work for the Rams. They have a trash roster now, overall, in terms of depth.
But it's not a bad idea.
I kind of just want to say go because we've been trying to do it this other way. And like, no, I mean, there's no guarantees on anything in this world. And I just feel like, man, he doesn't ever like talking about it. And he even gets mad when media talks about it. You look at the age of the owner. It's against what the rest of the front office wants to do, but you've built good enough. You've built a good enough roster that you can kind of afford to take this shot.
Yeah, like, and also
real quick, I would have questions about making that move if you weren't quite there. You are. You might be the favorite in the NFC now.
But this isn't the only move that's out there. There's going to be moves throughout. So why wouldn't you want to at least see what you have from your defense? And then 3 or 4 weeks into the season – the Rams are in a total tank job. They obviously want to do, and you could potentially get Aaron Donald. I'm saying in your line of thinking with like swinging big like that. Like, so it's not like it's only, this is your last opportunity. The season's about to start. Like, oh no, you'll have opportunities throughout the season to try and add a piece like that if you think you need that. But I think there's a part of them think that they got everything that they need on this roster right now because this is the best the defense has been in a long, long time. And you have the pieces on offense where you're just like, yeah, when Dak's been here, for the most part, he's had to be like an elite quarterback. With this defense and the team we have right now, he doesn't have to be elite. He just has to take care of the football. And we can be everywhere where we need to be without making a move like that, you know?
Yeah, and I think the one thing also with a trade like this that kind of intrigues me from the Cowboys standpoint is I think obviously draft compensation will be a big part going the other way, but it doesn't have to be as heavy as typically it would be, because you have so much depth with guys that are marketable on this roster in different places as well. Like if you were to throw like a Jalen Tolbert into a deal, like that has some value. Like that's not replacing a first round pick going the other way, but it might be replacing another mid round pick that you don't have to give up. And then you have Jalen Brooks who you think could slide in or something like that. Maybe a safety, which sounds crazy to say, but like, you know, something like that where, you know, you have guys that you could include in a package that it doesn't have to just be that, you know, like a Trey Lance trade situation, not the Cowboys trade, but the 49ers trade where they have to give up 3 first round picks and a third rounder and stuff like that. Maybe you can include some players to soften the blow on the draft compensation.
Would the Chiefs just take a first rounder? I mean, keep in mind a team that needs minimum wage players.
Man, I'm sure that that's a possibility, but I just can't believe that where they're positioned that they would do that. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you do that, I mean, we'll get to this later when we talk about our MVP picks and stuff like that, but like, I'm not trying to do anything that takes away from Patrick Mahomes having a chance to win another Super Bowl. And I just don't know how you make a move like that after you've already weren't able to bring back, you know, Tyreek Hill. It's like, how much do you want this magician to do on his own? You know, I mean, he's going to need some help around him. And if you were to just give up Chris Jones for some draft picks that aren't going to help you this year, I don't know how that helps Patrick Mahomes in a situation where they have as good a chance as anybody to win it all this year. Again,
Osa and a 2.
Well, that's why I did see that.
They need receivers in KC. I mean,
that was floated.
Yeah. No, at least in that sense, at least there's a, you know, you could potentially be getting a player to help you, you know, that makes a lot more sense than just be like, hey, we're going to get rid of our best defensive player and you're going to give us a draft pick that might be a late first rounder next year. Cool. That's awesome. Like, how does that help you right now when I would think, I haven't looked, but I would think they're probably the odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl. Like, I don't understand why you would make that move.
Okay. Let's just say that the compensation is not crazy. Okay. Crazy to make you shy away from doing it. What percentage of Cowboys fans would want to do it? Let's say it was something that's a real, I know it's hard, just a 1, this year's 1, or Osa and a 2.
I think most would do it. I think most would be on board. I would be on board. Like, I mean, why not go for it? But I'm not in charge of the team, but I would be all about going for it. So there's 2 different ways for me to answer this. When you first brought it up, I'm answering it from the team perspective, what I think that they will do. But now, because of the way you're saying it, I'm saying I still don't think they will do it. But if I was in charge, I would be all about that, because if not now, when, you know? So
yeah,
I don't think they will.
I think they would. The Cowboys would definitely do it. A 1 straight up for Chris Jones. I think they would definitely do that.
That's the thing, too, what John said about waiting 3 or 4 weeks, fucking Aaron Donald. Maybe you're waiting 3 or 4 weeks on the Chiefs' asking price to go down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs hit a spot of like, well, he ain't going to play for us this year anyways.
Or maybe you're waiting 3 or 4 weeks for trading for an offensive lineman instead of a defensive tackle.
There is just something about DT, man, that it just like, man, when you get good defensive tackle play, like whether you're talking about like the elite college football teams or the teams that make noise in the playoffs in the NFL – there is something about that correlation between, and obviously you can't just, well, we have one Ndamukong Suh with like the Lions. Like, of course, that's not going to do it by itself. But if you have the right pieces around a dominant defensive tackle, man, that really translates.
He can wreck a game, man.
To wins. Yeah. That
if it's not
that,
Aaron Donald, Chris Jones would be like 1B on the players. Like if he would acquire for this defensive line, he'd probably be number 2, right?
He'd be number 2. I mean, Aaron Donald.
So, like, if you're going to hold out, if it's not for Aaron Donald, then do it now, you know?
Yeah, because if this team didn't have, like, you know, Dorrance and DeMarcus Lawrence and you know, Dante Fowler and Sam Williams, I would say it'd be Nick Bosa for me. But while I think Nick Bosa would be obviously incredible, don't get me wrong, I just think the defensive tackle just elevates everything else. Because, I mean, really, when you look at this defense and – you know, even like looking at going into this Giants matchup, they're very good at defensive tackle. They've put in some significant investments at that spot. That's the only thing where if you were the Cowboys and you have that, that's why I was completely on board with the Mazi pick, because everything else falls into place. Because if you can do that and have those dominant DTs and teams can't run against you, this defense is so built for they want you to throw all day long because of the guys that take the ball away on the back end and the guys that can pin their ears back up front. Like they would love for you to throw all day long, but teams aren't going to do that. They're going to run the ball because that's what teams have had success against this Cowboys defense. And then it also prevents you from pinning your ears back against them. But if you got that monster in the middle like that, I mean, that could be the piece that, you know, puts you over the top. I just don't think it's realistic. So
you said Bosa too. That gets your head going a little bit.
But I mean, at least with the Chris Jones thing,
out of the gate, 0-4.
Hold on. At least with the Chris Jones thing, at least there's something there where you're like, well, I could see the Chiefs being like, well, the only teams that are interested are literally list off all the favorites in, you know, Super Bowl favorites. Why would you send them to an AFC team? So if you were going to do it, you're like, well, you know, Dallas, whatever. At least you could sell me a little bit on that. And then even on the Aaron Donald, you know, Stan Kroenke's friends with Jerry. Jerry helped him get that stadium in L.A. Like, there's just like little things there where I'm like, yeah, I guess you could whatever like that. I just don't see how the 49ers would send Nick Bosa to the Cowboys. You know, I just don't see. I mean, they already gave him a future franchise quarterback in Trey Lance. They're not going to be wanting to give away DNs like
that. It does sound a little crazy. Well, let's transition into the New York Giants Sunday night. Night game on the road and going to MetLife. And, you know, Giants are weird. 9-7-1 last year, a playoff team. Brian Daboll, your head coach. Daboll. And honestly, didn't lose a lot. You know, they didn't lose a ton. When you look at them, you go, well, I don't know that they're worse than they were last year. What they added, if you look at the draft, we talked a little bit about wide receiver Jalin Hyatt from Tennessee, Deontay Banks playing cornerback for them. You know, they've added a little bit there. It looks like Deontay Banks will be starting for them. Their starting wide receivers, though, does leave a lot to be a lot to the imagination there. Darius Slayton, you know, Paris Campbell, they're kind of counting on. He's going to come in and play the slot for them quite a bit. He was a big add. And you don't really look at wide receiver as much as you do tight end and Darren Waller. And if Darren Waller is healthy, then kind of a game changer there. He'll also be wearing the shocking number 12. That's hard to, you know, stop. It's hard to not to react to. I still think it's kind of a bad offense. They got Saquon there for one more year, but you do kind of know that you're getting fresh Saquon. That's the thing I keep coming back to with this game is like getting Saquon when he's taking 10 weeks of hits, a little different than you get him right now at the first of the year, and he's kind of spry. We are used to getting the Giants early in the year over the last decade or so. I feel very, very good about the game and the matchup, but I think week one just leaves all kinds of outcomes up to the imagination just because you don't really know how fresh or how, I guess, how clean anyone is going to look because, you know, Cowboys didn't play many of their starters in the preseason.
I would say go ahead, Seth.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Mike McCarthy kind of talked about that, about, you know, there being a level of mystery in the first end of the season. And I think, you know, there's a point to that, but I don't really give the Cowboys a whole lot of leeway or excuses on it because they're coming back with a lot of the same roster with the same defensive coordinator. You're talking about defense, Cowboys defense going against Giants offense in particular. I mean, you're not breaking anybody in. You're relying on Micah and DeMarcus Lawrence and Leighton Vander Esch and Jayron Kearse and Trayvon Diggs. And so, like, to me, you don't really have an excuse whether you played preseason or not. It's just a carryover.
It is interesting how what's gone on with their wide receiver position really since Odell, because, you know, they've tried giving that money to Kenny Galladay, drafting Kadarius Toney, and it really has not worked out for them at all. And so because of that, it's almost like they just haven't been able to put that explosiveness on the outside to pair with Saquon Barkley. So it's allowed, you know, the Cowboys to kind of, you know, focus in on Saquon because you're not really that worried about somebody on the outside beating you up. The other part of it is just, I mean, the Cowboys have just owned the Giants. I mean, just looking through the quotes from today, like Daniel Jones talked today and Darren Waller and Dexter Lawrence, man, they're each got 3-4 questions about like how long it's been since they, you know, they've been able to beat the Cowboys and if that bothers them and stuff. I'm like, these guys got to be so sick of hearing this stuff. But I mean, it is true. I mean, Dak Dak, that his rookie year, 2016, they lost both games to the Giants. And since then, Dak has never lost to the Giants. The only time the Cowboys have lost to the Giants since 2016 is in that 2020 year when it was at the end of the season when Andy Dalton was their starter. I mean, it's been a long time. And it's not like the games have been blowouts. It's not like it's just like, oh, well, you know, this is just Clemson playing Duke. Oh, wait, that's flipped. But it's just one of those things where they've been really good games. They just, in the end, the Cowboys have always made a play and have made the difference. And so when I look at the two rosters, I certainly think that the Cowboys roster is better than the Giants. But there is a part of me that thinks, God, this locker room has got to be so annoyed with always hearing about the Cowboys beating us. They're in your division. And I think that'll serve as a lot of motivation. I think on paper, I would think the Cowboys should certainly win this game, but I'm not surprised that it's only, I think it's a 3.5 point spread because there's just kind of a lot of averages. I feel like the Giants eventually got to win one of these. And then even in the openers, the Cowboys have just owned the Giants all these season openers that they've had.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried about like the defense. Like the Cowboys defense will be fine. You start talking about the offense, you're like, okay, first of all, how many points do you need to go get? Do you need to go get 5 scoring drives, 6 scoring drives? Be able to do that with limited reps or, in some cases, no reps? You know, I don't know. But it's not like the Cowboys are the only team that, you know, didn't play any of their starters. So I don't have this as your classic, you know, Cowboys are going to get up and score 30 points type of thing. But we're all kind of grasping at straws when it comes to week one. I thought it was interesting. Cole Beasley will not be active.
Yeah.
And that was what I was reminded, that Cole Beasley played for the Giants.
That's what you reminded, he played in the NFL?
Yeah, sometimes you need those reminders that guys are still in the
NFL. He's retired like 3 times.
When you said about their defense against the Cowboys offense, you know, Brian Daboll talked today about how there's obviously not a lot they can go off of because now that Mike McCarthy is calling plays. And so there's going to be uncertainty for certain there. The problem, though, is you just look at their front. I mean, they've invested a lot in their front. It's kind of like Washington in a way where it's, when you're bad long enough, you get a lot of high picks that, you know, you eventually have Dexter Lawrence, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, Leonard Williams. I mean, they have a front that can really wreck things, especially if you don't have Tyler Smith on the interior. I mean, they could really cause some problems there. But I still think that as long as you can keep Dak upright, I think he can make enough plays where you won't have to worry about an offense. It really comes down just as long as he takes care of the ball. I just think they'll do enough on defense that they'll be able to win the game because of that.
Yeah, and I also think that whether it's gamesmanship or whatever, maybe they just like Dennis Houston that much. But I think having Dennis Houston in the building, it doesn't hurt. I mean, you know, they're going to a new offense with a new play caller, all that stuff. I mean, he was there for training camp. He was there for preseason and all that stuff. So, I don't think that like tilts. I don't think that flips the game because he's like some sort of X factor. But like I said, I'm sure it doesn't hurt just having his intel in the building a little bit.
Well, the Cowboys answered that with Sean Harlow, son.
That's right.
Yeah, let's have a handshake agreement. No one share secrets. There we go. I will say, so Darren Waller, that is one of the guys, if he still has anything left, and it's hard to know if he does because he was not, the youngest guy in the league when he broke out with the Raiders. But if he does have something left and he's not completely washed, and he was certainly beaten up last year, he is an offense changer, you know, and they need more targets. We know that losing Richie James is not exactly, a thing that's going to put the dagger in your offense. But getting him could change things a lot, and he causes so many matchup problems. That's the one guy, I mean, I think even in the offseason, maybe people have maybe slept on a little bit that acquisition and what that could mean. But again, it's hard to know how much he's got left.
2020 Cowboys defense? Yeah, that would be a concern. This Cowboys defense, it's got all the right players in the right places for Darren Waller to be defended. Yeah. I mean, that's not... I mean, it's kind of... I really hate to just put it down to this, but like, if you tell me the Cowboys don't turn the ball over, I don't see them losing this game. I really don't.
All right, yeah, Dak, don't turn the ball over.
Like, Daniel Jones can run for a bunch of yards, because obviously he has the ability to run a little bit, and that kind of sometimes surprises you. Saquon Barkley can kind of go off on the ground a little bit. But if you tell me the Cowboys don't turn the ball over, I just think everything will work out for them.
Yeah, and that, I think Jaron Kearse, it was interesting talking to him this week, or I guess it was last week. Was it this week? It was this week. It was on Monday. Anyways, talking to him, he called Darren Waller top two tight end, and we all know who number one is. So I guess, you know, for him, he said basically after Travis Kelce. He didn't say that. I'm saying that.
Dalton Schultz. Clear.
Yeah. We all know that Travis Kelce is number one. So unless he's – but, that you know, that's high praise. But I also think Jaron Kearse is what John just said. I think Jaron Kearse was built in a factory to stop Darren Waller. So, I don't think it should be that tall of a task.
I could, right. Okay, well, I can give you one other could be a potential concern. Not that it would cause him to lose the game, but just something to keep your eye on. This game and maybe even a few of the others when the season starts is I'm interested to see, because they're so loaded on defense and they have brought so many guys back and Dan Quinn's still there, I'm interested to see some of these gambles that Trayvon Diggs might be taking on the back end, you know, just pulling off some guys to try and make a big play and stuff like that. Just kind of being impatient with just staying with his guy, you know, trying to make a big splash. I don't see that from Stephon Gilmore. I mean, just from the times we've been around him, Saad, and at training camp, he does not seem like the type of player that you're going to have to worry about with that. Bland doesn't seem like they're, but there's something about Trayvon Diggs in that back end that I could just see them playing really good defense, and he's just like, I'm going to make a play, I'm going to make a play. And maybe it leads to him giving up a big play, but even then, I still don't think that would... my only concern would be the Cowboys having some issues on offense. You know, a little bit of the, you know... It will be in a different way, but, you know, a pass will get tipped up and it'll be an interception and it'll be a little bit of that feeling of like, here we go again with the interceptions. It kind of reminds me of that first practice of training camp when there was a tip ball and Dak got picked off and it was just like, oh, you know, first turnover of camp, another tip ball just like last year. So there is a little bit of that I'm interested in seeing because how can you not expect there to be a couple of plays where guys aren't on the same page just because... You know, like watching some of these college football games in week one, there's just stuff that happens when there's no preseason and you're not really, you know, you're practicing against yourselves. And I could just see maybe, you know, some miscommunications on some things that might lead to a possible turnover. So as long as they're able to keep that out of it, I really think that they'll be fine.
Let's go ahead and get to our picks here. I will go first. Cowboys 27, Giants 17. John.
That is a great score. Just because you said that, I'll go Cowboys 28, Giants 17. But yeah, I like your score more.
I had two drives fizzling out, settling for a field goal. That's just me. Saad?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Cowboys 28, Giants 24.
Like that.
Let's go. And Kent?
Cowboys 24, Giants 13.
Okay. I thought you were going to go single digits on the Giants for some reason.
4-9. So there we go. There's our picks to start off.
You guys concerned if it comes down to a field goal?
I am. I hope we get to a place where I'm not, you know, but
you got
to
tear that Band-Aid off sometime. Let's do it week one.
Good USFL kicker, man.
So they're going to have... That let's say they're going to have a game-winning kick opportunity Sunday night from 42 yards. You can either have Brett Maher kick it, Nugent, or Aubrey.
Aubrey, baby, let's go.
Okay.
Dude, no. A, on the Nuge, okay? B, I'm not trying to get the yips again. No offense, dude. Sucked that he went through that. But I just, yikes. No. We don't go back to that. It's like the Rangers running Josh Spores out there again and again and again and again. It's not going to get better. It's just not. A weakness continues to be a weakness. So let's give it a shot, man. Let's ride with Aubrey. Dude, he strikes the ball well. We'll see. I mean, the pressure environment, maybe. I'm not going to bat for this guy or anything. God knows I was griping about the kicker thing all summer, but... Like, he hasn't done anything to lose the job.
You know, I messed that up too, by the way.
That's a low bar.
I didn't mean to go all the way back to the Nuge. I meant Zuerlein, sorry. Four Greg back. The leg. My bad. Does that change your thoughts
what about
on
Kai?
Okay. I'm going Aubrey.
I like Kai all over.
I like
all
Greg
guys.
The leg.
Okay.
Well, I like Greg the leg, but if Aubrey's going to, you know, boom it out of the end zone every time, and it looks like he will, then.
I don't think the leg strength is any issue at all.
No, doesn't seem to be. Yeah. He hits the ball well. I hate it that we're asking questions. We had questions about Zuerlein. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that we weren't questioning Zuerlein.
There was an NFL body of work, though, before with him, just like with Maher. There's a little bit of
key.
We don't even have a college kicking body of work here. Now, we do have other professional leagues where he kicked very well. And I mean, you know what? To be honest with you, after that maybe first week of training camp, ever since then, he was pretty solid every time. But the issue was that they just didn't give him as many opportunities as maybe you thought they would.
Yeah.
And the first 59er looked awful. But the second one made you think, oh, they might have found their guy here. So,
well, this will be something to watch for sure, because keep in mind, last year after week one, I know I was saying the season was over. Usually try to be a rational guy, but we definitely thought Dak's hand was going to have to be amputated. Like the way we were talking, Dak was never going to throw a football again and the season was over.
I'm telling you, man, Mike came in there with some duct tape and WD-40 and was like, hold on, let me cook here. And
Rush hadn't played that well.
I think McCarthy deserves a lot of credit for how it was game planned around him to where he... But when he didn't turn the ball over and just played within himself, like, they won, you know?
We don't need to do a long conversation on this, but like, Mike gets credit for that, or does Kellen get credit for that, or is it Cher?
Oh, no, hold up. To be clear, a bunch of people do, but I think as the head coach, you deserve a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially Cooper Rush.
You have to, and then we go back to Matt Flynn days and things like that, of course. It was funny. I was watching I'm not trying to kill them or whatever, but they do those, you know, team highlight. It's just a tradition, you know, the 30-minute heavily edited team highlights that they put on the NFL Network.
NFL films, for some reason.
I always find myself ended up kind of stumbling through and watching a lot of those. And I was sitting there going, man, they're skipping a lot of games. But I tell you what, there's some good moments in that Bengals game in week two that I think was a noon game too. It was kind of a weird yeah. atmosphere a little bit. I know it was the day of the Strokes and the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert, because I was watching the game on my phone in the parking lot of AT&T Stadium, or in the parking lot of the Rangers' new ballpark. But I was like, oh man, that really is a good throw by Cooper Rush. But Trey Lance is never going to play here.
Those games also really were the thing that helped. Took me to the level where, shout out Deion Sanders, I started to believe in the Cowboys defense. And that was just because of the fact that it was like, man, if you don't turn the ball over, you don't even have to do that much on offense, you know? And that even goes back to a year before that in the Halloween game up in Minnesota, you know? I mean, it wasn't like he was throwing it all over the place, but he made some big throws when he needed to, but the defense was just so solid. And it was the first time since I had covered the team where I'm like, you know what? We're starting to kind of get in an area here where they might be able to win games without, you know, Romo having to like throw for 350 yards and four touchdowns, or Dak having to have like, I mean, just look how Dak was playing before he got hurt, you know, with the ankle injury. And I mean, just every game, it was like putting up these huge numbers. And now you look at it, you're just like, man, you don't have to do that at all. Like, just don't turn the ball over. Just be efficient. You have to punt it. You know, just don't put your defense in situations where they have to sit there and, okay, guys, run out there. It's the Giants have the ball on your 20. Go ahead and try and keep points off the board. You know, if you just can be solid with it, I think this team can win a lot of games that way.
Let's get to our picks for the year.
Yeah.
We'll start in the AFC East. I'll go first. The hype is real, boys. The hype is absolutely real. The New York Jets are your AFC East champions.
Ditto.
Saad doing it too. Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm always. I know he says weird things sometimes and stuff, but I'm one of the biggest Aaron Rodgers truthers there is. So
he does say weird things a lot.
Yeah, but I'm still a believer in the arm.
Well, I have the Bills winning Super Bowl, so yeah, I have them winning this the division.
Spoiler, dude. Spoiler. Yeah, sorry. Let's build this thing up.
Sorry, man.
Bills. Kent?
I don't know if I should get weird here or not.
No, no, you need to get weird.
Pick the Dolphins.
All right, Dolphins. Pick the Dolphins. Yeah.
is oh, sorry, go on. Never mind.
No, no.
We'll talk about we'll talk about this when we get to our Super Bowl picks. Sorry.
Yeah. AFC West, Chiefs for me.
Easy.
Okay. John?
No, man. You're going to start off with this L against the Lions. No, yeah, Chiefs, absolutely.
They actually might. No Travis Kelce.
I know, man. It is.
Are you going to get weird here, Kent, and go with Sean Payton Broncos?
No, not the Broncos. Did you see what he said today about Russell Wilson or what the quote?
No. No.
He said something about stop kissing babies. You're not running for office or something.
Sean Payton said that about Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, is this a real quote or is this on like Ball Sack Sports?
No, this was like ESPN. I saw this.
Okay.
I mean, even that's.
Look it up. I think Seth Wickersham reported it. Take that from that source.
Okay.
No nonsense.
I'm going to go Chargers. It's kind of weird.
I mean, it's not that weird, but it's kind of weird, but it's not that weird. AFC North, I'll lead us here. Bengals. No. Chalk. Chalk. But there's a lot to like. The Browns are my sleeper team that I don't have the balls to pick to make the playoffs. But I think the Browns are going to be good. I'm still not putting them in, though, in the playoffs. Going to Bengals. What do you think, Saad?
Yeah, I think I'm Joe Burrow, I've said before, is my favorite player in the NFL. So I'm riding with him. And I agree with you on the Browns thing just because I don't think I've seen enough of Deshaun Watson in Cleveland to kind of go one way or the other. But if he's Deshaun Watson, you know, that we saw in Houston, you know, on the field and stuff, then, you know, I could definitely see them sneaking in as a wild card. But I'm still picking Bengals to win the division.
John?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And even to the – I could even see the Ravens with Lamar Jackson having a huge year. Kind of surprising too. But, I have to go with the Bengals too. Burrow and that crew, they're just – I mean, I just feel like them, Kansas City, and Buffalo are on another level.
Kent?
Cincinnati.
I'm also really rooting hard for Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes to become the new age Brady Manning. So, you know, I feel like we really missed that in the conference, so –
Wow, just hating on Josh Allen and Trevor Lawrence. Okay, guys, sorry.
AFC South, we're all taking the Jags, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man, I don't really know.
Unless Tennessee is like, we're going to wear these Houston Oilers jerseys all season, then maybe I would go with them. But no, I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Wild card teams, I'm going Bills, Dolphins, Chargers. Wild card teams. And I didn't prepare y'all for that one. But
I
started writing them down. I was like, I need to know who makes the playoffs. So, Saad?
I'd go with, since I picked the Jets to win the division, Bills would be my top wild card, and then Chargers, and give me the Steelers. I'm all about the pick height.
All right.
Pick it and Pickens.
John?
Jets for sure. Chargers for sure. Oh, man, this one's tough.
It is tough.
I'm with Saad because it could be Pittsburgh, could be Cleveland. But
it could be Baltimore.
I'm going to give me Baltimore.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Kit?
Oh.
In hockey?
Give me the Ravens.
Like it?
Texans?
No.
You went Jets in the AFC East, didn't you?
He went Dolphins.
I went Dolphins.
So he got weird.
You got to go Jets or Bills there.
Give me Bills.
Or Jets and Bills.
Ooh. Okay.
Ravens, Bills.
And Jets. Yeah, there you go, son.
Jets. Okay.
Man, I like that,
but
actually.
Somehow you don't have the – but hold on. He doesn't have the Chiefs making the playoffs now. Because he picked the Chargers to win the West.
It's all right.
Oh!
That would be crazy.
They don't have Travis Kelce or Chris Jones. It might be tough.
The fall of the Super Bowl champion.
I'll tell you the one that I don't have in that is kind of bothering me right now is the Dolphins. Because I just got a feeling they're going to have a really good season. But I guess
kick Aaron Rodgers out of there. World.
And I'm just going to say, as someone who was a Patriots fan for 20 years, it is cracking me up that we're talking about the AFC East and they are just not even mentioned anymore. It's just wild.
I mean, stuff goes in cycles.
Continuing, though, on a thread we've been on all offseason, really, and maybe even dating back to last year, you have these teams that you feel like uncomfortable leaving out in the AFC. You get to the NFC, and you get teams that you're uncomfortable putting in.
100%.
And that's where we go to the NFC East. I picked the Cowboys. Saad, go ahead.
Yeah, I picked the Cowboys as well because the Eagles won the division last year, and you know you can't win it twice in a row.
John?
It's against the rules.
Well, I really want to go wild here and say Washington. I just feel like they could possibly get into some type of situation like late in the year, and maybe like the coach doesn't know that they need to win the division. So I'm not going to go with them. And I'm going to go with the Eagles. I'm going to say they end the streak and finally an NFC East team wins it back-to-back years.
Kent?
Cowboys.
All right. It feels very flip a coin there.
Yeah, for sure.
NFC West. Man, it's weird because I still am a big believer that Brock Purdy's not real. But 49ers it'll be. Saad?
Yeah, this is going to be my hot take of maybe the picks. I'm going with the Rams.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not, it's not a bit. I believe in Stafford. I think Cooper Kupp is going to, once he's back, he's going to be fine. And I don't really believe in Brock Purdy. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with the Rams.
John. I believe in Matthew Stafford more than Matthew Stafford believes in Matthew Stafford.
And more give than me his the wife Niners. Believes in him.
Yeah, give me the Niners. Thank you.
Kent.
Yeah, San Francisco. I'm not a huge Purdy guy either, but I heard this thrown out there on the Athletic Football Show that Sam Darnold might just take over midway through the year. They just do it again, you know, do the whole Brock Purdy
Kent,
thing.
Kent, if I was to give you Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and Kittle and Debo Samuel, I think you're winning at least 5 games with that team. So, right. Yeah, that's totally possible.
Right. So they can probably do it with or without Brock Purdy. So give me San Francisco.
NFC North. John?
I can't do it. I can't do it. It makes the most sense, but I can't. I'm going to go Vikings.
Okay. Oh, wow. John goes Vikings.
I can't do this.
So
I'll do it. I've been hanging around John for way too long. It's seeped in. And by the way, like you'll see how this seeped in when we make some other picks later, but because I didn't even realize I was doing it. But, yeah, give me the Lions, definitely, to win the division.
Okay. Kent, NFC North?
Let's get wild again. Give me the Bears.
The Bears.
Justin Fields, DJ Moore time. Let's go.
I'm thinking about changing it now just so we have full representation. And I do think it's a
– Packers?
I honestly think they're going to go 7-10. But what if Jordan Love – isn't bad.
Oh, I mean,
they'll be 7.
If you've watched the last 30 years of Packers football, you would just totally believe that's a real possibility that he'll be good. So,
you know what? I'm going to do it, but I wrote down Vikings first, but I'm changing it. And the reason I'm changing it is because you guys all pick different teams. It has nothing to
do. Yeah, there you go. I mean, when's
but
the last time
I also
that they were...
had a team making the playoffs in my wild card picks that I wasn't comfortable with? And now I can make it work. So
who was the starter before
Packers?
Brett? Who was their start? Was it Don Majakowski or was there somebody after him?
The Magic Man. Yeah. Mikowski.
Okay.
Mikowski, Favre, Rodgers.
Man.
Jordan Love. That's my life. I'll take the Packers. Screw it. Why not? NFC South. I'm doing
You're
Saints.
Like, hey, you go. It goes. Favre, Rodgers, Love, Shedeur Sanders. Sorry, okay, go on.
I mean, I'd be okay.
Also,
with that.
Like, it's funny because, like, I feel like Majkowski is kind of like the Drew Bledsoe of the Packers, where you know, like, you forget that he was actually like a good quarterback and was doing well because then like two Hall of Famers come right after him. And,
was he doing well? I thought he was terrible.
He was fine.
I don't know.
He was
too
a starting
young.
Quarterback. I mean,
well, I just remember the Packers in like the 80s and early 90s before Brett were like one of the worst teams in the NFL.
They were terrible.
they were bad. The Packers were bad, but if I'm not mistaken, he was like a Pro Bowl, All Pro type guy. Like,
there's no way he was ever All Pro.
I'm gonna check right now.
So I was pretty much in the boat of they're rebuilding. Then there was like rumors of them actually trying to trade for Jonathan Taylor, which had to be just be rumors, considering they have two running backs already.
Second team All Pro, 1989.
You didn't
I'm
have
surprised
to do
they
much
even did second teams back then. They must have just given it to him for that mullet.
Yeah, you didn't have to do much back then to be second team All Pro. Just hand it to
that
the
doesn't
back.
Make any damn sense.
I mean,
sorry, go on.
That year he led the NFL in passing yards.
The
Pro Bowl.
I'm pretty sure Jameis Winston has led the NFL in passing yards.
And he's in the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They've been known to be very liberal with their doors, though.
Yeah, again, he's got a very
Ring of Honor.
Favorable mullet, so I think that factors in.
I'm not saying he was a legend or anything, but I'm just saying you forget.
No, it sounds like you are.
No, I'm saying you forget he even like was competent, because then you have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and before that, all you think about is Bart Starr. So, you know.
Anyway. That's who it was. It
NFC
was Bart
South.
Starr handed the ball off to Brett Favre, and he took it and then handed it to Rodgers.
Guys, too much Packers talk on this podcast.
That's your fault.
NFC South. Saints for me.
Saints.
It's tough. Because none
yeah,
of
Saints,
them.
Yeah, Saints for sure. Yeah, same here.
None of them need to win it, but.
I'll go with Falcons.
All right.
Okay. Bijan.
Bijan City.
Falcons would be my sleeper pick, but yeah.
NFC wild cards. I'm going Eagles, of course, as my first wild card team. I'm putting the Vikings in. I kind of hate it, but I'm going to sneak the Seattle Seahawks in. Okay. Sorry, Lions. Sorry, Bears. Giants. Just don't see it. Let's go to Saad, your wild card teams.
Yeah, give me the Eagles, 49ers, and the Bears.
Eagles, SF. Oh, wow. Justin Fields. Okay. John, wild cards.
Cowboys, Seahawks, Lions.
Whoa. And
Kool-Aid.
He is drinking the damn Campbell mixed Kool-Aid.
Yeah, man. It's like, just think of all these teams that they could possibly be beaten out. I don't know how they get past
wait
the Giants
to the
or the
Super
Commanders.
Bowl picks. No. Give me Vikings, Eagles, Lions.
All right. I mean, heck, the NFL's in on the Lions, putting them on opening night, which seems crazy.
They sure are.
By the way, NFL, great job of scheduling. Monday night, they're going to give us, Bills and Jets. I mean, just tremendous.
Yeah.
AFC champion. We'll start with you, John.
Bills. I just feel like they got to eventually do it, you know? They just keep – they've run into – it was the Bengals last year, the Bills the 2 years – I mean, the Chiefs the 2 years before that. They just keep knocking on the door. I just feel like they're due.
Saad?
I agree that I feel like the Bills are due, but I think Patrick Mahomes is going to do it again. So I'm taking the easy, safe pick here.
Kent.
Cincinnati.
Let's go. That's what I'm rooting for.
I mean, dude, that is Bills, Chiefs, Bengals.
I might
change what I'm going to pick just so we have full representation. I'm going to take the Aaron Rodgers Jets.
I knew it. True. I would love that.
Would that make you upset if he, as a Packer owner?
Not at all. We had a good run. He didn't want to be here. We had a good run. It was time to move on.
But it
could
have been even greater, though.
It could have been.
Probably
could have
won more than one.
We have still a good run, man.
He goes out there, wins one with the Jets, and has hit the top two receivers in the Super Bowl are Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard. You're not going to be upset.
When they do a football life on me for the NFL Network, I will look the camera in the eye and say, I had a good life. And that's all that'll be. Like, we don't have anything else. I've never had to have a season of going, oh, my God, we're really going to run Brad Johnson out there at quarterback. Never had that in my life.
You're saying this because you think Jordan Love's going to be good. It's like, let's check on you 2 years into no quarterback.
Seems like a real direct shot at Lions fans, but okay.
I think he's going to be. Well, I'm just telling you,
There's been some years when Lions fans would have loved to have Brad Johnson.
Hey, here's Orlovsky again. Oh, God.
Oh, there he is, running out of the back of the end zone. Hey.
Sean Hill, baby.
You're running around the mascot. Do you not realize that you're out of bounds?
I'll parlay this into a TV job. NFL. Okay, sorry, NFC. Gosh, you did Bills. Son did Chiefs. Kent did Bengals. I did Jets in the AFC. Okay. Look, guys, I did it. NFC Championship. Dallas Cowboys. Ooh, and I don't know that I've ever done that. I think it's been, you know, at least it's being in the media game for 15 years. I don't think I've ever picked cleanly the Cowboys to be your NFC champion. And I'm doing it because I think they're the best team. I really do.
Who would you have them playing in the NFC Championship game?
Eagles.
God,
we're 49er.
Can you just imagine the TV ratings for a Cowboys-Eagles NFC Championship game?
Wow. Especially if they split the season series, so we get to know the best two out of three.
Yeah.
For me, I'm with you, KT, and I feel it feels weird, but I'm going down the list, and I'm just like, okay, clearly I'm not picking anybody from the NFC South. NFC North, it's too early for me to be in on the Lions. The NFC West, I'm just not there yet, and it comes down to Cowboys-Eagles, and I kind of believe – I'm not a superstitious. I'm a little stitious, but I'm not like superstitious. But right. For me, like the Super Bowl hangover is kind of a thing, and I kind of keep that in the back of my mind with the Eagles. And I just feel like almost by default, the Cowboys are going to come out of it a little bit. And by the way, if they do, and let's take the Kent's AFC pick out of it. And think about our three AFC picks. It would be Cowboys Bills, which with all the conversation about the 90s and not winning since then, that'd be a hell of a story. Cowboys Chiefs, go back to the early days, and Cowboys Jets, go back to the early days. It would just be the NFL storyline machine. If it was the Cowboys and any three of our AFC picks would just be out of this world.
I would say from an NFL standpoint, it really can be the Cowboys and anybody, and it would be like that in the Super Bowl. Like, just because it's the Cowboys brand, but then also the fact that it's been 27 years. And so there you have all that built up with it. So I don't think it really matters who it is. And I think that with all of our Super Bowl picks, a lot of people would look at that as, oh, well, that's where it will end because they're not going to beat, you know, whatever, the Bengals or, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs or even Josh Allen and the Bills. But it's like, man, I got a Nick Foles Super Bowl and two Eli Mannings. I will tell you, no, go ahead and play that game and just wait to see what happens with that. Like, I would not. It's one thing if it was, you know, the NBA with a 7-game series or something like that. But when you just have one game.
And you have no idea. You have no idea who survives the gauntlet in terms of health-wise. So you have no idea what that's going to end up like.
Yeah. No, all those are great points. But yeah, give me the Niners.
Okay. Saad?
I got the Cowboys.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. And Kent. I'm going to write down Kent's.
49ers.
No Eagles left. Super Bowl. I put the Jets.
You have the Jets hoisting the whole damn thing?
If it's Jets and Cowboys, do you think Aaron Rodgers, the Cowboys are going to beat Aaron Rodgers?
Mike McCarthy. Rodgers guarantee a win?
Oh, my God. I hope so.
Did Mike McCarthy get the Cowboys fitted for rings?
I'm going to say something that bugged me.
That bugged you?
No, let me tell you something that bugged me about rings. The Jonas Brothers were at Globe Life Field last week, and the Rangers made them like World Series rings.
Excuse me?
They were wearing like commemorative Globe Life Field rings. And I was like, can we not
blow a
lead in the
eighth
inning?
They couldn't have been World Series rings. It was the Rangers. Sorry,
I'm just saying they gave them huge ass rings.
I know. Never mind.
For them to wear.
Why? Just a thank you?
Just like, yeah, thank you for playing our ballpark. Because it was like baseball themed, there was baseball themed merch and all that type of stuff. But I'm just like, can we for a second just focus on not blowing a lead in the seventh inning? Yeah, can we do we have anyone capable? If Joe Jonas can throw 95 and just not walk guys, then I'm good with it.
Hey, At least they'll help.
That would get zero likes on TikTok, though.
At least they just gave him rings. They can take those rings and leave. It could be like some of those stadiums that hang the banners for the artists.
Oh, no. That would be so terrible.
We're not going to name any names, but yeah.
Yep. Well, they let the quarterback play. They let the quarterback on the roster.
That's true.
Dude. Super Bowl. Let's go to you, John.
Oh, Bills, man. Like, Bills. I don't know. I just got this feeling. I got this feeling that this is finally going to be their year, which is also why it always makes me kind of scratch my head over the whole, like, all that talk about Stefon Diggs wanting to leave. I'm like, why would you want to leave this right now? Like, this is your chances of going to a better situation than this, unless you just absolutely hate the cold weather, you hate living in Buffalo. I know that that's totally a possibility, but I've never heard that with him. It's just about him getting the ball more and things like that. Like, man, I would try and ride this thing out. I just feel they're so close. I mean, really, the Chiefs, Bengals, and Bills all just seem like they're all knocking on the door. Like, none of those would surprise me.
John's got this feeling the same way the Panthers have a feeling this year. Let's go to Sod.
God, that was awful. I think it's interesting with John's point too. Like, we grew up with the Brady Manning Roethlisberger trio always kind of, you know, being there. It would be really interesting if it kind of became like, you know, between Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, like you always had one of those three kind of in the Super Bowl. That would be interesting. But I'm kind of rooting for KT Super Bowl, the Jets and the Cowboys. That would be interesting. I know, back in the day when the Jets won the thing, it was against the Baltimore Colts, the guarantee and all that. But I would love for that kind of vibe with Aaron Rodgers. Just, I feel like he would say something on the Pat McAfee show. So we'll see.
About vaccines. Yeah. Oh, no, you meant about the game. Sorry. My bad. Sorry about that.
Give me the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs beating the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Okay, Kent.
Cincinnati.
All right. Let's go.
Four different Super Bowl picks, all in the AFC.
I think Burrow's just got that moxie, man.
This might be Burrow's year.
No, yeah, he's got that Brady gamer in him, and excited to see it come to full fruition at some point.
I feel like he's on the precipice. I do feel the same way, though. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, he's the clear number one in that category. Yeah. But I feel like Josh Allen's got that too, man. He's just come up short in some big games, but man, he's played great in some of those games too. Like, but yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
AFC. Joe Burrow has to me. Joe Burrow has the is the cockiest guy that doesn't annoy me in sports, like. You know, and it's a fine line where you can, you know, talk the talk and not become just annoying as hell. For me, Joe Burrow walks that line.
Yeah, AFC it's definitely LeBron for me.
Oh, sorry, guys.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. Sorry. Joking. Sorry.
AFC MVP, does that do it for you?
I'm crowning myself over here. Sorry.
Joe Burrow?
I'll go with Burrow.
That was mine.
Okay, Burrow. Sod Burrow. Am I to guess Josh Allen?
John? No, I'm going Mahomes. It's a regular season award.
I mean, if I've got the Jets beating the Bills in the division, then I can't give it to Josh Allen. It is a regular season award, though, and I think the Jets are going to play slow and let their defense win games. I will also go Mahomes. I know that's not exciting. NFC MVP, a little more wide open here. Who's going to do it? Has Dak been unlocked? Who's going to do it?
Yeah. I'm going to go
Justin Jefferson, but once Arizona finds a quarterback, that's the real MVP. So pencil that in.
Okay.
I really thought we were just doing MVP of the league.
Oh, let's do MVP of the league then.
Because whoever the MVP is of the NFC, I feel like it's like 7-8 spots behind all of the AFC people that would be ahead of them.
Micah Parsons, probably it, honestly.
I'm okay with that. Let's just do MVP. Let's just do one. It's more fun. But let's do a conference rookie of the year, though. No, let's just do one rookie of the year. Let's do an offensive of the year. Let's do offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
Oh, okay.
A little tougher, I know.
All right. Yeah. Give me Bijan for offensive. For defensive, give me Will Anderson Jr. from the Texans.
Probably the chalky plays. I'm going to take a gamble on Jalen Carter, which I don't know, man. They're not going to get to a defensive tackle, though.
I hear he's coming on.
Yeah, I'm going to do
it. Buzz is building.
It is building. I'm going to do Jalen Carter.
For me, for offense, I was going to go with Bijan, but because that's already taken, I don't want to. That was going to be my one of my guys that I was going to. I was thinking about the other one. I'll take a wild offensive swing at Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit.
I mean, I love this.
So I'll take him for offense, and then for defense, this is going to make Cowboys fans' ears bleed. But I think Nolan Smith is going to show out.
Are you sure you didn't say Mozzie Smith's name wrong?
My offensive, real quick, before I put Jalen Carter, my offensive, it's been wide receiver the last couple of years. Garrett Wilson, Jamar Chase. We'll do another one. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be our guy this year. So that's my offensive rookie of the year.
John? Yeah. I thought about going that way, too, with I'm going to go Bijan and Will Anderson as well, just because I think that they're clearly the favorites in both those categories. But when you said wide receiver, the one that I keep thinking about is Zay Flowers with the Ravens. I just could see him, you know. It's weird, though, because there hasn't been, like, a great connection between with Lamar and any of his wide receivers, like, to a level where you'd win an award like that. You know, obviously Mark Andrews he's had, but I could see Zay Flowers having, like, a big year. But on the defensive side, there's just nobody that really jumps out to me. You know, Lucas Van Ness and Jack Campbell and Witherspoon and Cansey, like, none of those guys. And then the thing about the Eagles guys is just, like, you look at last year and, like, their rookies really didn't make that big of an impact, you know? Like, I thought, but just because they didn't have to, they were, you know, they had so much talent there. So, but it wouldn't surprise me if one of those Eagles guys got it on defense. It just, like, to Saad's point, and it's totally relevant, you know, you say it being superstitious, but there's a lot of data to back up that's going against the Eagles this year. I mean, from the NFC East, not being able to win a back-to-back year. And I mean, and when you're a quarterback, you lose a Super Bowl. Chances of you getting back to it next year, not really great.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing. Like, wide open. Health will come into play and can change all those, like, historical markers and things like that. But it's just, it feels like it's right there. And hey, if there's anything breaking emergency-wise that we need to get to, we'll get back to you here on the About Them Cowboys. We'll do it.
All right, Coach of the Year.
Oh, Coach of the Year. Yeah, I forgot about Coach. Oh, Coach. Dude, it's Saleh. It's amazing. It's like Aaron Rodgers can make you be Coach of the Year. Saleh. See, for me.
For me, I thought about that, but I think that we're too educated, and there was too much on Saleh that if he does get worthy of it, it's just going to get chalked up to Aaron Rodgers anyways. So I think that that'll detract from him. By the way, complete side note, KT, I was just in my mind just thinking about the Super Bowl picks again. Your pick would be Mike McCarthy versus Aaron Rodgers. That would be very juicy.
Oh, it's outstanding. It doesn't get spicier than that. Cowboys and Chargers could be spicy. That's...
I was just thinking that historical context of Jets being good back in the 60s and 70s and Cowboys historically, but totally blank that, yeah, that would be Mike McCarthy versus Aaron Rodgers, which would be 2 weeks of just fantastic stuff. Anyways, coming back to Coach of the Year, for me...
McVay for you, right? I mean, you picked the Rams to win that division.
I think so. Like, for me, it was between three guys. I was between McVay, Dan Campbell... And the one that I'm going to pick is Doug Peterson, because I think the Jaguars are going to be that good. Well, they're going to be that good in the standings because their division is crushed, but you know what I mean. Like, they're going to be good.
John?
I mean, I want to say Dan Campbell. He is such an obvious pick, though. He probably is the odds-on favorite, just because I feel like if he gets the Lions to the playoffs, he should probably get it. I thought Peterson should have got it last year, to be honest with you.
Your current coach of the year odds have last year was Brian Daboll.
Right.
What's his name?
Daboll beat out Doug Peterson.
Daboll, wow. I'm seeing Dan Campbell is your leader in the odds. Sean Payton behind him.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Vegas. Eberflus, Arthur Smith.
I think I gotta go with you, man. I think I gotta go with Saleh.
Yeah, Salah's coming in there about 16-1, you know, about 50.
I mean, I get that Aaron Rodgers will get a lot of credit, but I think with how things have gotten with him, if they're able to have this success, I think a lot of people will look at it as like, whoa, look at this. Like, it was able to work out with him and Salah, where it's not like he's always had everything work great with him and his head coaches. So, and also the New York side of it too always factors in, man. I'm sorry. Like, I know that I've argued this with other people and they've disagreed with me on this, but I really think the New York is a big factor in why Dable won it, because I'm sorry to take over that absolute dumpster fire that Urban Meyer left for Doug Peterson. To me, that was just more impressive than what Dable did last year, but I guess that's just me.
Cowboys got 13. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, son.
No, I think that's a good point. But one thing that I will say related to the Aaron Rodgers Coach of the Year conversation, KT, if your pick, the Packers, do really well, I mean, Matt LaFleur has to be part of that conversation too. To, you know, if Jordan Love is able to get it going and you go, I mean,
that's a good point.
We're talking about like discounting Salah because of Rodgers. It works the opposite, where if you make it work without Aaron Rodgers and with Jordan Love, then you get some love too.
Yeah, Cowboys for sure.
Go 13-4, 14-3, run away with the NFC. Mike McCarthy should get a little bit of this action. He's not even up there near the top of the odds, not even close.
But he should get credit for that. The expectations are so high. Expectations are so high, though. Like, it would be, I mean, if you won 13 games, it'd almost be like, yeah, you did what you were supposed to do.
Hey, whose spot would you rather be in? Because we had a new thing for The Athletic where we did like a bunch of different questions, and one of them was, it was about coach. It wasn't on the hot seat, but it was like who has to like prove the most this year. And I feel like Mike McCarthy will probably win that, because I think there's a lot of people that look at the Cowboys as like, well, they got to get over the playoff hump and all that. So for me, I would say the biggest rival to McCarthy would be, I just forgot his name, Brandon Staley with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of them blowing that 27-point lead last year in the playoffs. And they obviously have a lot of talent. And this will be his third year. So I'm bringing this up because I was going to ask you guys, who would you rather be right now, Mike McCarthy or Brandon Staley?
McCarthy.
Easy. Yeah.
Me too. Also, I want to say the question was like, who has the most to prove? Because I was like, Mike McCarthy's already won Super Bowl. He does not have to really prove anything. Whereas like Staley has a loaded roster. They should have at least won one playoff game last year. And the expectations are only going to be higher this year.
If their offense is great and the defense doesn't get the job done, then Kellen Moore's your next head coach of the Chargers, and Staley's out of there.
Okay.
McCarthy's – it's not like McCarthy doesn't have Dan Quinn, you know, right there creeping up. You know, it's the same way in reverse. But, you know, I'll probably take working. I don't know. I wonder how much Staley has to deal with his owner.
Well, not only that, but what like – the outside pressures and stuff with you being with the Chargers organization compared to the Cowboys is, you know, night and day. So,
but I wouldn't want the headache of having to game plan for Patrick Mahomes twice a year.
I'll trade you with the headache of being worried about what the team owner and general manager says every Tuesday and Friday on the radio and then Sundays after the games outside the locker room.
Another fair point. I'll go back to being Brandon Staley. As long as I'm not Sean Payton, I'm happy. Well, there's our picks. We will talk to you. Are we post-game?
Wait, did Kent do a coach of the year?
Oh, yeah, Kent. Sorry, coach of the year.
Mine was Dan Campbell.
Yes, that's why I wanted to go back to. I knew he was going to have one of those lines in there. Oh, they're going to disband us all, guys, but oh well.
Kent, are we post-game Sunday night?
I don't think so, because we got away game traveling. So we'll probably be at you early in the week next week.
Great. It's a little time to refresh and get our bearings after Cowboys Giants Sunday night. Keep following.
Look over the all 22.
Look over the all 22.
Watch the tape. We'll work on it.
Work on our technique a little bit. Those little things.
Keep in the mirror. Good bend. Yeah.
Keep following Saad, John. If you would share us, like us, re-X us, retweet us, repost us, tell a friend, text a neighbor. Hey, listen to About Them Cowboys. Any type of love you could give us, we'd appreciate that. Heck, go into the CD underbelly of Reddit and tell all your Reddit friends, hey, this is the best Cowboys podcast.
I just want everyone to know, if even one person, if just one person out there happens to text their neighbor about this podcast, it will absolutely make my month.
It should send the podcast to new lengths that we've never seen before. Shooting it straight through the stratosphere about them Cowboys. There needs to be a graphic of someone going to their neighbor's house, knocking on the door, and just asking,
Jimmy! Jimmy!
They're out watering.
You listen to this Cowboys podcast?
Who is this?
Get out of my yard.
For Saad Youssef, for Father John Machota, and for our producer Kate Garrison, I'm Kevin. And we will talk to you next week, reviewing Cowboys Giants, getting you ready for Cowboys Jets on the next episode of About Them Cowboys.
Austin Powers,